know what to do.
Danger, danger.
All range mode.
Welcome to All Range Mode, ladies and gents. This is episode season 1, episode 7. Welcome. This is our Thanksgiving episode. Hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving weekend. Some good feasting.
Indeed.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A little text going.
Hope the feasts were treating you well. Some of us are just waking up. It's a special night shift edition.
Yeah.
It's 1 a.m.
We here all night?
I had a couple Thanksgivings. One with more food than I could have ever wanted to eat. It's pretty exciting.
I had two nights of constant feast. And then a week of leftovers.
I don't even want to talk about food right now. I just, a bunch of people have told me this week that they thought I looked really, really thin and good. So today, I just ate as many chips and garbage as I could ingest.
Because
and
you earned it.
Feel awful. I'm just so
full
right now.
Was it despite them? Despite their...
No, I just thought, like, yeah, you know what? I have been doing pretty good. We sell chips at Starbucks now, so I've just been snacking on those things. Like, they're...
Oh, introductions.
Oh, yeah. I'm Joe.
Oh, I'm Doug.
We have a new formula for introductions here. So, my name's Joe. How's it going? I got Chad here to my right.
Hello!
And to Chad's right, we got Mr. Doug.
Ichali!
Dan couldn't make it tonight. He just got home from vacation, and he's feeling a little rough, so he's taking the night off. So back to the Thanksgiving feast. Shelby made a turkey taco chili.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and we just...
For Thanksgiving dinner?
This was out of the leftovers. She made soup. She made turkey soup and turkey chili taco. Is that what you call it? It was like, it's chili with turkey in it instead of beef and taco seasoning instead of chili seasoning.
Give me.
It was really good.
That sweet time.
Yeah, and we just used Tostitos.
Oof.
To, Yeah, we just used Tostitos to eat it. And I had, scrambled egg chili, turkey chili for breakfast this morning.
Nice.
It's been really good. All right, so we're thinking that we're going to jump right into the top fives from now on because they do inspire discussion and, you know,
definitely.
we may as well get it over with. So in honor of last week's music in games, music anywhere debate, we decided to share our favorite, musical moments, scores, soundtrack stuff. Just kind of overall keeping it open, and I'm pretty excited. We're gonna, for the first time, we're actually doing some pretty sophisticated production behind the episodes.
So, there was a lot of pre-planning that went into this episode.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
The list came together.
Courtesy of Joe.
Does
slave labor the entire day.
Do we have anything to discuss before we get into them?
We got those Pokemon coins today.
Oh yeah,
from Toys R
Us.
We
had our weekly Toys R Us visit earlier today. Our guy was there once again.
Hooked us up
with some Pokemon cards and Pokemon coins and 10 Kid Icarus AR cards.
I gotta say, they're very underwhelming. I got them because they were free, but once I had them, I wanted to throw them out.
Could you believe Kyle's lack of just excitement at all today at Toys R Us?
He sucks, man.
He hates it, man.
Really?
Oh, and then
he's always been.
Earlier today, we were hanging out in my room, and we overheard him just because the door was open. He's talking to Tina. It's just like, yeah, you know, well, they always go there, and they never buy anything. It's just like, why are we even going there?
Yeah,
we drag him along.
That's kind of sad.
Please.
He's more of a Chapters guy.
Well, we went to Chapters, too.
Yeah, we walked out on him. He got lost inside of a book.
He had his Chapters. God, that was horrible.
Ladies' Man?
Well, we were looking at the Legos and chapters.
And the kids section!
Where, that's where they keep them, you know?
Yeah. Man, that was like a... The first time I saw that, I was walking around with Lena, my four-year-old. And we were walking through the mall, we went to chapters, and then... For the first time ever, I walked down into the kids section. And to my delight, it's full of Lego or Star Wars books, Lego Star Wars, really cool stuff. I bought one of those bobbleheads, those Star Wars bobbleheads. That's what started my collection.
Oh, yeah, that's where you started.
Yeah, I got the Stormtrooper. I got the Stormtrooper from there. And then I got Han and Chewie in Philadelphia. And then I actually just picked up, I sent you guys a picture of Luke in the Rebel costume. That was awesome. I just saw it and it was meant to be. There was only one of them.
Where was it?
I went on a work trip to Mississauga and Hamilton, and I was driving around trying to look for the branch of our stores that I was going to, and I just glanced over to my left and I saw Gotham. What is it called? Gotham Central Comics.
Oh my!
I was. Okay, I'm going to that store.
It was crazy. When I was at the comic book convention, those guys had a booth set up there.
Oh, yeah?
And I went and talked to them. When you said that, I remembered the name.
Oh, nice.
Their booth was huge. Like, they had a lot of stuff to sell, and I bought some comics off them. And, yeah, we just talked to them for a while.
Many of the things on our list, our top five movie props or replicas, were at this store.
Oh, my.
Some of them a bit underwhelming, like the...
How'd that Normandy
The Normandy things were plastic. I saw them in the mall later that day, and I asked the guy, you know, what they were made out of and stuff like that, and he said they were just plastic and they were cheap.
I was looking at those on Amazon, and, like, the reader reviews were horrible. Like, the paint job looks like crap. Like, you don't get to paint it yourself. It's like...
Yeah. Kinda... I know some people will just paint them themselves. Like,
that'd be awesome.
Imagine just chroming it.
Cast it like metal.
Weighting it. Like, put some weight in there. Something to weigh it.
Cast it in gold.
My brother used to work at a chrome factory. They would just dip, like, car parts in chrome. Imagine that. You just had a spare chrome dipper to...
Geez. What is it, like paint, or...
Well, you know, like the bumpers of trucks and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, they're made of probably steel, like, just...
Yeah, but is it like... Like steaming as you put it in.
Understand the process.
Chrome's like a paint. It's like a metal.
Okay,
paint.
So it's not molten metal, like thousands of degrees.
Like Terminator 2, that stuff he sinks into.
Yeah. I don't really know. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure you can just chrome paint. Like, there's chrome spray paint.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe they just it's got some like lead or something in it. Yeah.
Oh, something I should bring up last week. Well, I mean, the last couple weeks we've been talking about Legos.
Nice.
The day after last week's episode of the podcast, I couldn't take it anymore. Went to Walmart. I had my mom drive me there on Thanksgiving Sunday, and I bought the Lego TIE Fighter, and I have to say, building that thing was one of the best times I've had in recent memory. I'm so hooked on Lego Star Wars stuff now.
What were you
it's
watching?
My first piece of the collection.
As you were making it.
I wasn't watching anything. I was just
really?
Listening to some podcasts.
Cool.
Just building it.
You have to get...
I've been looking at shelves on IKEA on how to display my collection, and I'm starting with Imperial and then just working my way down.
One of the best nights of my life, I watched episode 1 over and over again, and like my parents were gone. I was in grade 9 or something like that, even 8, I think it was 99 it came out. And sitting in my room, I built the battle droid. And then it could be broken down, and there was a second thing you could build. There was a pit droid. And I just, like, built the battle droid, took it all apart, built the pit droid, took it all apart, built the battle droid again. And then
nice.
I think I took it back.
Typical. we sidetracked quite a bit away from... Oh, you know what? Where did I start? I went on a trip?
Where were we? Did you find sweet shit?
Where did we start with that?
Top fives.
I also saw a store called Toys in like the poor section of the mall in Mississauga. There's this mall in Mississauga called Square One, and it's huge. Like I got lost in it because I'd never been in it, and I ended up in like the poor section where it's like shoe deals is the name of the store, things like that. And there was a store called Toys, and it was just wall to wall, like the store like racks, you know, like they were so thin that you could barely move around comfortably, like in between the racks.
Wow.
Were the toys and it was of quality, like interesting?
Some of them looked bad. Some of them looked really bad, but they had Lego Star Wars stuff. That's where I found that vintage X-Wing with every character. They used to just throw tons of characters in it.
How much was it?
$129, marked down from $199.
Hmm.
And it's true it was vintage, but I looked it up on my phone, and when you put it together, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Lego technology has progressed quite a bit in the last decade. all the figurines are just, like, their bodies are painted correctly, but all the faces are yellow. Remember the old Lego faces? Yeah. So it's probably worth a pretty penny to get those vintage characters. Hmm. And it comes with Han, Leia, Chewie, you know, Luke, everybody. Because it wasn't such a commodity there where they had to, you know, only put a couple with each thing because...
When I was buying the TIE Fighter, I was at Walmart, and there was this, as I was looking at the Lego Star Wars sets, there was this guy who was about my age standing right next to me looking at him. So we just start talking. Like, we're just going into it. And he was telling me that he had all the old sets, the like Millennium Falcon, the X-Wing, and the TIE Fighter. And he was just like, they're so horrible, the old ones. He was saying the detail in the new ones, he was just, like, he pretty much talked me into buying the TIE Fighter.
Man.
It looks awesome, too.
It's insane. Have you guys been on the Lego website?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. They have tons of mini games, and you can just pick a Star Wars character and go through each sets and run through them all. But then they also have interviews with the designers who make the Lego set, like the complicated ones, like the R2.
That's so cool.
With the retractable leg and stuff, and just how they built it all into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's super interesting. Like,
how much was the... we were looking at that 2-foot Death Star today.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, was it the old? No, it was way more. It was like $1,100 or something like that.
It's a... No, the most expensive one we saw was the Star Destroyer, which was 4 feet long.
Oh my god, yeah.
4 foot long.
You know what, like...
Yeah, they had like 4,000 pieces. Like,
They're not 60. Toys anymore. They're so sophisticated. No, and I think that's why we're into
limited
them.
Plaques, limited edition.
Yeah, that's why we're so into them. It's like kind of new age, unique way to collect model kits. And they're so available and abundant.
And I love the community about how like certain minifigures can just sell on eBay for $30. I am so into this. I'm really like, I don't know what took me so long, but I'm on board.
I know, we're all,
I suggest like, if you're hesitating, you go to the Lego site, you start small, you join us.
When I got married, we were going to do Lego Stormtroopers as gift favors. Every single table would get a Lego Stormtrooper, like with your seat placement thing. But we couldn't get them down cheap enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like I even called representatives at Lego. And they're just like, we don't deal with that kind of stuff. And
really?
Yeah, well, I was calling everybody. I bought all the groomsmen Nikes, and I called one of the warehouses, and they're saying if they sold them to me as if I was the coach of a team, that I would get crazy discounts. So I was just like, oh yeah, in the paperwork, they just file it as a team. So I did that, and I got a bunch of shoes for like half price.
Wow.
Actually, I shouldn't have said that. Because they were gifts for the groomsmen, but they're I still wear mine. I wore them today. Are we about? Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have clapped. But are we about ready to move on to the top five?
Yeah. Top five.
So top five musical moments, scores, soundtracks, things like that. So I'm gonna go first. It's an old standard. I tried not to mix genres or likenesses. You know, so one. For each video game, one for each kind of movie, things like that. So obviously, we got to pay homage to the master. Here's my number five. Yes, this is a rare tune to be heard. Do you guys know
the end of Mario 3?
Not Mario 3.
Super Mario World. Right?
Well done.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done, Liz.
I picture at the end when they're all together and the Yoshis are jumping around, all the little babies.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
Oh, I know that one well.
That's the end of... Yeah. I've always liked that song, and I never had a Super Nintendo until I was older. So I was never able to fully complete Super Mario World. I just played levels. I knew how to get to the secrets, but I never got to play it all the way through until probably maybe I was like 20
when I finally had a similar experience. Did you have a Sega? Is that why?
I had a Sega.
Yeah, same here.
I had it too. I had Super NES. I discovered it in high school through emulators.
I thought Sonic was like the bee's knees.
The place where I used to get babysat at as a kid after school every day, they had a Super Nintendo, so I would always play it there, but I never had one of my own. And then we all made the switch to 64.
Yeah. And that song's not used in any of the other games. It's as far as I can remember.
You could tell it was Mario, but I was like,
yeah. Yeah, and it's a rare tune, but it's a nice jaunty tune. I do say so.
I don't think I've ever beat Mario World. I've Mandy and I were playing it, and we played it two different times. Played it at her house on her cartridge. Got through like half the game. We didn't play for a week. Deleted the save. Played it at my house. Wow. We got through like right to the end. And didn't play for a week, deleted the saves.
Why are you deleting the saves?
I'm not deleting them. They just happen.
Oh, the game?
The cartridge is just like, it's old and it just fucking erases all files.
I successfully modded my Wii, and on the NES emulator, you can quick save. Nice. So that's just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Or the SNES emulator. So you're up next. I thought we'd be sitting in our usual placements, but you're up next, Doug. What's your number five?
Okay, well, let's just go ahead and start it.
Start the clip.
Made me so happy, like I can't stop smiling.
Do you guys remember the scene?
That was a huge.
Do you remember the scene
when he first sees the long neck dinosaur?
Brachiosaurus.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, man. That was great. And they're in the helicopter. Oh man.
Well, let's do it again.
That was filmed. it was a close one for my top five. Unfortunately, honorable mention. It was between that and the Back to the Future theme.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. What's the Back to the Future theme? How does that go?
Oh, shit.
We were singing it earlier. It's fucking...
I know there's like... It's the power of love!
Oh, no. There's a definite theme. It's composed by the same guy. I'm
John
pretty sure.
Did the Back to the Future theme?
I always forget it.
Oh, God.
Whenever the DeLorean would fly in to rescue him, it would just start.
You know what the crazy thing? Honestly, that just came out of my. That was not premeditated.
No, but when
I just. The first note was.
What's the back?
The first note came out of my mouth, and it was just like, I know where this is going.
And when's the last time you watched Back to the Future? 10 years ago?
Probably, yeah.
John Williams.
There you go.
That's a really good... Oh, man. Wow.
Man, we were talking... Chad and I were talking about it before we started recording. There's really, like, three names in score. Hans Zimmer.
That guy's
John Williams and Howard Shore. They do a lot of big movies, three of those guys.
You got... what's his name? The Tim Burton guy. Danny Elfman's really big.
Yeah, that's another one. You know,
Danny Elfman.
Not too big a fan.
La 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 la.
He is awesome though.
He's got some good ones. I mean, Nightmare Before Christmas is a classic. I know it got hot topicked out, but yeah, I loved that movie, and like the songs are amazing.
I did enjoy it as a kid.
Songs are amazing. That
I was horrified of that movie.
It would have worked better as a stage performance, I think.
For sure.
They should make it.
Side note. Have you guys seen that it was revealed at, or not revealed, but like revisited at the New York Comic Con this week, that PlayStation game, Puppeteer?
Okay.
Seen anything about that?
I've not heard.
It's not, it's made by Sony Japan, so not the same company that did Little Big Planet, although it looks like Little Big Planet. Anyway, Tim Burton kind of feel, it's just this game set on a...
Little Big Planet.
Yeah. It's this game that's set on a stage the whole time, and you just play through these puppet levels. the graphics look phenomenal, the soundtrack looks great, and they were saying it's like PlayStation's hidden gem. And the guy from IGN playing the game is just asking the Sony rep, like, why aren't you showing this, like, constant attention? They were just like, well, we're not too sure, like, we're kind of getting it going, but
they're showing that
check it out, the puppeteer, it looks cool. Amazing.
So, Chad, you're up, you're number five.
All right, this is from Kingdom for Keflings.
I've heard that song in your car many times.
Yeah.
I thought I have a playlist of it. Like I thought we were doing like best score, so
yeah.
I've listened to that. I downloaded the soundtrack for that game, and that fucking game, like, you can sit down. It's the easiest, like, the most easygoing game. There's nothing to threaten you. You just, like, sit back. It plays these beautiful acoustic tunes while you're just building your little empire. It's just, oh yeah, this is fun.
There's got to be a science to video game music. Like, you're demanding that your players are listening to it for long stretches of time.
Yeah.
Like, those kinds of games. But, like, strategy? Oh my god, I can't believe I completely forgot. SimCity has some of the best music. It's not, like, original score, but their soundtracks are so awesome. It's just jazzy tunes. And, like, you don't even realize it's gotten to nighttime and like, just completely jazzing up your game, and then the sun starts rising, and you hear those, you know, like, more industrial, metropolis-type songs. Like, those are beautifully, you know, scored, those games.
That sounds really great, because it's just an acoustic guitar. You know, like, it's not a whole symphony, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely top five worthy.
Yeah, there's one guy, his name is Eric Nunemaker, and he just, like, and it's just like an Xbox Live arcade game, so some guy writing tunes in his basement.
So, my number four needs no introduction. Inception, the first movie I saw in IMAX. You were there.
Yeah.
Were you there?
No, but it was also the first movie I saw in IMAX separately.
Oh my god. Like, just rumbling. It was like you're in an earthquake at that final scene where all the different levels of dream. Just got a text from Kyle there. All the different levels of dream state are all coming into, like, they're just, oh.
There's so much happening.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
The van is falling into the water. You got the facility that on the snowy mountain is literally falling apart. JGL's rigging up
the best
elevator.
Conclusion in any movie.
Oh,
of
my god,
time. Like,
yeah.
To put all those three, like, four storylines together and just, like, imagine that, like,
do you remember how it was happening?
Zimmer, right? That guy?
And, like, yeah, Hans Zimmer. And, or is it Zimmer Min?
I think it's
Hans Zimmer. So they're at, like, the deepest level. They're in Leo's kind of subconscious there, because it's his dream. It's his main dream that they're walking around in, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he takes care of Maul. You finally get not conclusion, but resolution.
Okay.
So you finally get Leo and Kuchards, or whatever her name is, Leo and Maul, their resolution, and the world is literally crumbling around them. And Ellen Page, she's just like, don't forget to wake up. And he's like, I won't. And she just jumps backwards out of the building so she can get that kick.
Yeah.
oh man, and then just
after I came out of the theater having seen that in IMAX, I was just like disorientated. I was trying to walk. I was just like,
yeah,
what happened? That was so like, big and loud and great.
We had to pee super bad, and we all wanted to pee. Yeah. But like, we just held it in, and we're just like, holy shit! And then that part, and then like just all talking. Oh
yeah. Yeah, that was an amazing experience in IMAX, with especially that score just kicking ass. Womp womp.
He does Dark Knight as well, which is
Dark Knight was more jarring, surreal.
Just that.
Yeah,
I mean they did well with that anthemic kind of. That's cool, you know. Yeah. It's good for whatever.
Doug, what's your number four?
Number four. I knew I wanted a Final Fantasy song in here, and I had to. The soundtrack to Final Fantasy XI is disgusting. It's one of their online MMOs, and I would just like to point out that this is the song that plays only in the game while you're choosing your character class. If you select Hume Male, this song plays while you have it selected. Only for that part in the whole game. Just in the intro.
I got a bit of warning for your guys' top five, and I tried to narrow it down. I'm not sure where in the song you want it, but I think I picked some decent parts. So I
trust
hope you guys...
We're all human males, so I deemed it appropriate.
That's the only during the character selection?
When you're like,
yeah, like
you
just Skyrim, scroll
you're
over
selecting your
the,
character,
the,
and you scroll over, and just that plays.
Wow.
The soundtrack is disgusting. In Japan, that orchestra who did the original recordings just tours. It plays like arenas and.
Who does this? Who writes these songs?
They have these arrangers. It's a ton of detail goes into the soundtracks of those games.
I'll bet.
Yeah, that's crazy. They write so much.
So we're at Chad's number four.
Yes, my number four is from. Actually, it's another. It's another Hans.
Ooh, Hansi.
Hansi.
Yeah.
Give me that sweet.
It's from Pirates of the Caribbean. The
unexpected.
The Curse of the Black Pearl. The movie's not even that great, but the soundtrack is amazing.
You know,
it makes me want to watch the movie and like it more, but I can't.
I'd heard this song before. I didn't know it was from Pirates of the Caribbean.
I do remember that part and just not being able to stop grinning while that song.
Yeah, so like they're just fighting throughout the town and everything. Like
now that I know that it's from Pirates, I can't believe I didn't put my I couldn't put my finger on it. I mean, when I hear that, I hear swashbuckling. I hear sailing the seas and sword fights, and it just captures the image of that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe it's, you know what, you listen to the scores an awful lot in your car, and this is probably where I'm hearing all of these songs. Many of them, for sure.
I love that song. Like, I wish I liked the movie a lot more.
Yeah. You you also used to play Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, the theme song.
Yeah,
to that.
That's my dad's ringtone. Whenever my dad calls me, it's...
And we all, if anybody who's listened... Yeah, anyone who's listened to past episodes, we all know kind of how that movie turned out for us. So, my number three is a bit of, tip of the hat to one of my favorite games of this generation. I wonder if I should just play the clip and then we can talk about it a bit after.
Absolutely. Sure.
So that's the title screen to Bit Trip Runner. Now, a bit of a controversial
bit. Is that Anna Monoguchi?
It is Anna Monoguchi, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, not technically part of the score of the game. Definitely part, a big part of the game.
I wanted to put Bit Trip in there, in my top five.
I was looking for the soundtrack. I found it hard to
I've got it!
To buy the soundtrack on Amazon for money. Spend money. Yeah, it was tough to get, and I knew I had that song, and... That, you know, the score in that game is amazing, but that title screen, you know, just queuing up the game got me right in the mood.
Yeah,
it's just, oh, it's a great little song, and there goes my number three. Bit Trip Runner, play it.
Yeah, definitely play that fucking game. Number two's coming out, and the soundtrack, from what they've shown so far, is better than the first.
Well, they're opening it up, right? It's more well, I don't want to say artistic. It's a little bit more polished. It's not as retro, so they're...
What I've seen from it, the screens, it looks a lot like that Sword and Sorcery EP I was talking about, that iOS game.
Yeah.
It has the 8-bit feel, but the textures in the background look very similar to that game, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it was 8-bit. It had a lot of... I think 8-bit is...
8-bit's like a style.
It was like 3D 8-bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Well, I know, so it does get more current gen.
It's pixel art, right?
Like, no, it's not. Like not anymore. The main game is not pixel art anymore. It's all very polished and stylized. But, like, there's secret, not secret, supplemental levels.
So it's more of a platformer as opposed to, like, time trial kind of...
Well, no. Let's say you collect all the gold pieces on a certain level, or all the tokens on a certain level. You get a bonus level where you can multiply your score, and those look like they've gone farther in the opposite direction. So they've gotten more retro, and the actual game is more stylized than current.
Kind of like Super Meat Boy.
Yeah. Well, Super Meat. Sure. Yeah.
Do you guys have any info as to if it uses the Wii U tablet, or is it just coming out for Wii U?
XBLA.
Across.
It's NTSN.
It'll probably...
Probably just play, like, with a controller.
Yeah,
the only thing I can see the gamepad doing is you might be able to play it on the gamepad while somebody else is watching TV.
I don't even think it's been announced for Wii U. So.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. It was on their master list of
oh, really?
Games.
Yeah. Cool.
So where are we at?
Okay, my number three.
Yeah, Doug's number three.
I also had a... Well, I'll just play it, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Or no, hold on. I don't like this. But... Didn't hear it. I'd like to say this first. It's also an 8-bit kind of song in that theme.
Yeah.
And this is a game. This is one of my favorite NES games of all time. But I don't think we've ever talked about it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I just love this theme song.
It is a bit dormant. It is a bit dormant. Oh, this is the title screen?
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have known either.
I'd know this anywhere.
I've never heard this before.
You have?
I haven't.
Everybody, let's play this game.
Surprise me then.
So it's a Paperboy for NES.
I never played it.
Oh my god.
I've never actually played Paperboy.
It was so much fun.
Wait a minute, was Paperboy 2 also for NES?
I believe so.
I think Paperboy 2 is where I became familiar with the franchise.
I think there was a Game Boy port too that I also used to play.
I think
I played the NES one day and night.
Like, I have played it. I played it for one life. I ran into like a fucking cat or something.
Yeah. So you're on your bike on the road and you're trying to maneuver between these cars and kids skateboarding and all kinds of stuff, and you just gotta whip out these papers into mailboxes, and as the game progresses, you start to go faster.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, the thing
it was a lot of fun
with Paperboy was the camera angle made you kind of feel like it was a 3D environment
because
It was kind of top down on the side type of thing,
driving towards
all about like you're traveling diagonally to make it feel like you're in a 3D environment, but it.
You know what, as a young kid playing NES, it was one of the few games, other than Mario or Duck Hunt, that wasn't ridiculously frustrating to play.
Yeah.
You could be a little good at it, you know what I mean? You could progress in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Just as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, games are so fucking good.
That's a real nostalgic 8-bit song for me.
I was never able to get very far in Paperboy. There's better endings and worse endings and... It's got some depth that I never knew about. Like, I would just throw paper at every house, try and collect, like, I don't know.
Papers, right? But you had to make certain quotas kind of thing. It's like, you had to get a certain amount in the mailboxes by the end of the level.
I don't know where the hell I played that game. Maybe it was Tim's house, and, like, he was probably showing me games.
Yeah.
And this game sucks. We put in like Mario, the old Mario 3, and just kept going.
I remember one night we hooked up Tim's Atari, and played that in his room for a couple hours.
I remember that fucking thing. Yeah, like Pitfall.
Yeah.
The original Pitfall. It's so horrible.
Yeah.
Your character is 5 squares.
So, Chaz number 3.
This is from Viva Pinata. That's another game that was like, it's kind of like Kingdom for Keflings, where there's not really much threat, but it kind of just amps up all of a sudden. It's like you're building this garden and everything's nice, it's playing beautiful music. The entire soundtrack is amazing. And then all of a sudden these things come in at night and just start killing your piñatas, like your little piñata animals. You're just, no, no!
So,
and you name them, you get attached to them, and these fucking things come in and just kill them.
I remember that game was it came out at a time when I had just bought my 360, and 360 was relatively new, so there weren't really any good games.
That game is still beautiful.
Bought that thinking, well, we both bought it.
Yeah.
We talked about it, and we're like, you know, this is supposed to be pretty good. It's one of the only things, one of our only options, let's just get into it. And I remember not thinking it was my kind of game, but I really did have fun playing that.
Well, very early on, like, Microsoft had purchased Rareware.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, when, whether it was a buyout.
It was the beginning of a
free agency.
It was for launch
of Xbox.
And they had,
like, the first Xbox.
But it's like any game or any intellectual property that Rare was working on got shifted over. So you had a ton of Rareware releases at launch or close to launch for Xbox 360. That was one of them.
Yeah.
So they were huge right then and there. But, like, are you playing these games, like, it's almost like escapism, eh? Like, you're just going to tend the farm. Like, Kingdom for Keflings, Viva Pinata.
It is great, though, because you turn it on, I'm just going to tend the farm for 20
minutes,
like, and then I'm
going
to go to school.
I played Battlefield here. Like, Doug was sleeping before we did the podcast. We were waiting for Joe to get here. I played Battlefield. You can't relax playing that fucking game.
No.
I try to sit back on the couch back here. I was like, oh, I'll take it easy. Like, I got killed twice, and I was like, fuck that. I took the chair, I moved it right up in front of the TV, and I was in. And just like every kill, I'm just like, fuck!
See, that's hilarious, because I play Battlefield while listening to podcasts and the sound off, and I'm just like killing the whole time.
I agree with you, though. I can't do it without just totally immersing myself.
Yeah, you have to be in. Like,
and if someone's like, I just want to shut my cell phone off, I don't want to talk to anybody, it's just, I don't like it for those reasons, though.
Nice.
Sorry.
It's okay, we can stop if you... You guys going to join in?
No, we're just going to wear them.
Cool. Have fun.
Well, keep it down. Just kidding.
Yeah, great game.
So,
love it.
This is, I hope this does a lot for you guys. This is my number two. Just, you know what? I'm going to ask you both to close your eyes a little bit. Okay?
Eyes closed.
We're going down memory lane, okay? Grade school. The whole world ahead of you. You don't want to
be.
You don't want to do your... You get home and you're not really into your homework. What do you do? What do you do? I was putting my list together and I told my wife, I'm like, it's changed my life. She's like, I know. I'm like, you don't understand.
Whenever this people changed ask me my life. And they're like, you play video games, and I assume they only have negativity because they just think I'm a pot smoking like, Call of Duty bro gamer, and it's just like, no, you don't understand. I'm the man I am today because of The Legend of Zelda over a time. This made me who I am. Every bit of charm. It's,
yeah,
it was a path. Like when I turned that on, I was never the same again.
That's true.
And my life has taken me into a direction that's led me here ultimately.
Yeah, like I, you know, with I'm sure.
Like-minded strays.
I'm sure. I'm sure you guys like. I was stuck. Like I enjoyed having my Sega Genesis, and I played NHL '94. Quite a bit, and you know, there was the big games, Mario games, and I would dabble with them, but something happened when that game came out. We all had N64. There was trailers in the movie theater, and for some reason we all knew about it before the internet,
yeah,
and all that stuff, and it just, they must have marketed that like genius.
I remember going to Toys R Us.
I pre-ordered it. I never even knew I wanted it as well.
Like I pre-ordered it like 3 months before it came out. And with Toys R Us, I put money down, and they're like, you're going to get the collector's edition.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. Like, what the hell were we, 11 when that came out?
No, you guys were older than me. I didn't pre-order it. My mom got it for me for Christmas that holiday season, but I had asked her for it. And I think by that time, it had already come out, and everyone at school was just like, this is the game, and I had to have it. I opened that thing on Christmas Day, and you know how you always go to like your grandpa's house or something for Christmas Day? I just brought my Nintendo 64 to my grandpa's house, hooked it up, and everyone was in the other room eating Christmas dinner, and I was just playing Zelda.
Dude, I beat Ganondorf during Christmas. I got it when it came out in November, played it constantly, and I remember my grandpa coming in to the room while I was playing in the back room. And, like, everybody was around. I'm just hitting magic back and forth. Like, hitting back. And he's like, oh, this is too violent. He's like, you shouldn't be watching this.
I think the crazy...
That was real.
I think the craziest thing about that game is that, you know, your brothers and sisters... Well, for us, brothers and sisters, Doug, for you, just your brother. Parents, they kind of just thought we were playing a game. That's what we were doing. We were just playing a game. But think about some of the moments just... Those epic fights with the bosses.
Fucking water temple.
That
game, my brother
water
and I
temple,
used to...
I got like a different part of my brain developed.
You know what? I have to admit, I was not able to beat a lot of parts in that game by myself as a kid.
You're a little bit younger than me.
I had my cousins helping me and things like that, and I got through it. Water temple was one of them.
I was forced to remember more steps. Like, okay, step one, I gotta do this. Step two, raise the water. Step three, put the boots back on. Like,
yeah.
I was like training my brain during playing that game, and it definitely got me hooked on games. Got
something
all
about
of
just
us
getting items in that game was so satisfying.
Yeah.
The shields and everything. My brother and I used to just make all those things out of cardboard and then fight each other.
I did too!
With the master sword and just...
I made the coolest fucking master sword when I was working at my grandpa's furniture store. I remember just like cutting layers upon layers of cardboard. Like I cut one in the shape of the master sword, and then I put that on top of another one and just made like a, just like a template for it. And I cut like five thick and just wrapped it in like two things of, two rolls of tape. And it was just like solid. It was awesome.
Hanging out with my nephew is like looking at a past version of myself. He looks just like me. He's totally into video games and Legos and all that stuff. Like, and I'll go to my sister's house. Like, I'll bring my kids to my sister's house, and I'll just, all right, I'm going to talk to Alex, and we'll go up, and he'll be in the middle of a game, and he wants to tell me all about it, and I'm just like, you can tell me these things. I'm here for you. Like, no one, I don't know how my family feels about it, but we just talk about Zelda, like, in front of everybody, and it's like a conversation that we're having no one else is in tune to.
Nice.
I'm not gonna
see how he's progressed. Awesome. I remember the last time I was talking to him about games, like 2 or 3 years ago, I think he was asking me to like help him beat a part in Spirit Tracks.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, he's really gotten into like using the internet to kind of help him with games, which is something that maybe I have to talk to him about. But like he came over and he started playing Metroid Prime. And he was struggling with a part, and right away he was up on the computer trying to look for like YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Wow.
And yeah, he's old.
Kids
now.
Have maybe that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We never had that.
You don't need strategy guys.
It's just like, I gotta get my cousin to show me how he beat this. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, if you call up your cousin, he's not home, just fuck.
I forget what I was listening to, but they were saying, you know, before, if you opened up the manual for a Nintendo game, it would say call this number and you can talk to like a representative if you need help. And now,
how cool would be to be that representative?
Yeah, yeah.
To know the game completely.
Yeah, nice. And now, if you look in the manuals, it says Google. Like, use Google and Google in the word. And here's some hot words to use: FAQs, walkthrough. And they just tell you to search the internet now.
Cheap.
Well, I mean,
cheap on labor.
Yeah.
Save money.
I suppose.
And it's a lot better than some guy, oh, wait.
Business is business, I guess.
What level are you on?
So, that was fun reminiscing. Thanksgiving episode.
I got it for 3DS, and I can't fucking wait to play it now.
You bought a 3DS?
I bought a 3DS, sold it, but I kept the games.
Oh, wait a minute. 3DS XL is what I was thinking.
I need an XL, yeah.
I have to have one.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the new colors come out, like a special edition of something.
You know what?
The colors are horrible.
But you think they're going to announce one before Christmas?
Yeah, there's going to be something that's
What do you think
out.
About that? They just had their press release, though, where they announced...
The UK ones, they're coming out with the Pikachu and the white one.
But those have been announced already. Why would they announce the UK, the Japanese ones, and not the North American ones?
Because they're going to have something fucking sweet coming out for North America. North America's their biggest market.
That's true. I really hope... Okay, I'm waiting for it.
So they're going to flash announce a new color or something like that?
I hope it's like the... I don't know. Wait.
So
they gotta come up with a bundle.
A black one would be nice. Nice.
Oh yeah.
Nice metallic black one. Ooh. So Doug, number two.
This song is is just phenomenal. It's one of the it's a new song. And you know what? I was having a really hard time. I almost wanted to come at this and just like whatever we had, top fives. I wanted to do top five games and top five movies. And so this would be my number one game for sure, even though it is my number two.
Yeah, you made me made me play this game, and it was a very, very enjoyable experience. And music is just beautiful.
Journey.
Okay.
For,
PSN.
If you own a PlayStation and you haven't played that game, just download it right now. It's not even a game so much as it is an experience.
If your favorite games are Madden and Call of Duty, you should definitely play Journey.
Yeah. Get out of there.
That game's cool. And
did you beat it?
I don't think I got to the end. I played it for halfway through. Yeah. How long did I play for? 20 minutes?
Yeah. It really, you can beat it in like an hour. It's just...
It's for multiple playthroughs, right?
Yeah, but you're definitely going to have the most fun on your first playthrough.
Cool.
I think. it's just you start off in this desert and there's a like this beacon of light at the top of the mountain, and you just follow that and you go through different landscapes. It gets snowy, deserty. You're playing online without even deserty, without even knowing it, and other players are coming with you, and you can only communicate through like and you just have to work together, and like you just soar. It's beautiful. The sound and the graphics are disgusting.
The lighting's really good.
Oh, I imagine surround sound would. I don't have surround sound, but
yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be awesome.
Anyway. So Journey was your second favorite game?
Second favorite soundtrack, yeah.
I thought you were saying game before you said that.
No. First favorite game soundtrack, I think.
Oh, okay.
First favorite game soundtrack? I'll see.
Number two on my top five, because number one's a movie, right? Okay. So that's what I was trying to say.
All right, let's move on. Chad, you're number two.
Me? Okay. I just love the series for music, but... This song in particular, when I get home, you know, like, when I get home, my wife's waiting in the city in my house, and she's cooked a meal for me.
I know she'd do it. Right, let's take a walk into that image.
Skyrim, and that was in Whiterun, and I'm pretty sure everybody bought a house in that city, and they only visited that city mostly.
Yeah,
I never bought a house outside of that city.
Well, I never had a desire to.
Don't they tell you
it was home
right away in the game? They're like, Whiterun's that way, and you're like, okay,
Yorn Greymane.
You first go to that what's that person River Run? Yeah, and it's just the first city's over there. Okay, it's the cheapest house.
Yeah,
I'm starting here.
I'd like to take a moment to apologize. Last week I said that I had turned off the music in Skyrim. I never turned off the music in Skyrim. I was just talking shit. Skyrim is leaps and bounds above Halo, I would say, in terms of gameplay score. I mean, not so much cinematics. I mean, I know it gets pretty epic, the Halo cinematics, but yeah, I never turned off the music in Skyrim. I mean, that's just madness.
We took a good minute today to stare at the Mega Bloks Halo collection today in Toys R Us, and it made me hate the series. Just looking at these things, oh my goodness.
If they would have got the Lego license, man.
Hideous.
Mega Bloks.
Imagine how
fuck off. Fuck off, Mega Bloks.
Your mom gets you a set for Christmas.
No!
You fucking idiot!
Yeah, so
that was the Elder Scrolls series, like, in general. The Oblivion was the most listened to piece of, like, I have a playlist on my iPod or my iTunes.
Top played, yeah.
And it shows you how many times you've listened to it. I'm at over 300 times, and this entire playlist
that you listen to the Oblivion score?
Yeah, the entire playlist is a half an hour.
Nice.
And the Skyrim one is like 2 hours because there's a 45-minute song.
Do you think that these games, like to a, you know, any established composer, that it's just kind of music by numbers?
No way.
Certain tones sound good together, or
no, man.
Are these just geniuses writing? Well, not geniuses, but
they're geniuses.
I really think at this point it's on the same level as film.
Well, you get a melody. Like, they think of a melody, and then they know which pieces to throw on. It's like, yeah, let's do this. And
there's more to it, though. There's, like, you have to consider what type of game you're making, right? So, think about film composers when they get together. It's just like, okay, we're doing a Back to the Future movie, like John Williams, and same with Jurassic Park. It's got to be kind of for kids and whatever. Like, all that has to be represented in the audio.
The director and everything as well, too.
Exactly.
Like, what do you want this to feel like?
It makes people feel things, even if they don't remember liking the music, it creates the emotion. So definitely in games they have to do that. Like, from that, you get the sense that it's, you know, it's a fantasy world and magic exists. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
that all, like, they had to communicate that to the composer and he had to match that with music. A lot of work went into that.
But yeah, they go by like different parts of the world too. Like, there's some parts in Skyrim that are just snow, like fall tundra kind of thing. Yeah, and like the tundra. It sounds like that.
It has to.
Somehow it has a sound and it sounds exact. Like, they capture that. Like,
yeah, they did a really good job. It makes me think of Gerudo Village or Gerudo Valley. Yeah, I guess maybe they are a little. I should give them a little bit more credit.
Who's that? Jeremy Soule is his name.
I mean, there's an abundance of talented composers out there that are just writing music, not for, you know, big movies. Like, what does that guy do other than write for Skyrim?
Elder Scrolls in general. Every game he's written the score for.
Wow, really? That's awesome. So we're on the number ones. The clips for the number ones are a little bit longer, you know, rightfully so. They're not too much longer, except for one particular one that we'll get to. Mine, obviously, if you know me, I've got Star Wars on the brain. So my favorite theme or song or anything is Luke Skywalker's theme. And it's very subtle. Did you call that?
We were talking about this earlier.
We were just saying,
what's iconic Star Wars music? And we were just talking about, like, the Imperial March and stuff. I was like, no, there's that other one, which is his father was a Jedi. Yeah, we were trying to figure out what that was.
So it's Luke's theme, and the best, you know, implementation of it or utilization of it was at the end of episode 3, actually. So the most current movie. The last scene in the movie is Obi-Wan
separating the babies.
Yeah, and he brings Luke to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, and the final scene is them all three looking up at the two sons, and it's just like the best fucking.
Oh my God.
Like,
I actually have goosebumps.
The best ending, I think, it's one of the best endings to any movie, as far as I'm concerned, just because I'm a super fan, but. Yeah, they look up at the suns, and I'm just like super geeked to get back into the original trilogy, and the way it's scored is just it gets me going every single time I listen to it. Such a somber moment, and then just the credits key, like da 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 da. It's just like, yes! Like, I'm ready for the next one. Yeah, and that's as far as I know, that's the only time you hear Luke's theme in the prequels.
In the prequels, interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
You might hear it in episode 1 for Anakin, but I don't think so. I think it's different.
Isn't it in episode 1 when Qui-Gon's talking to his mom?
I don't think so.
No.
No. Hey, that's cause enough for a rewatch, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So I'll rewatch the entire saga and get back to you guys next week. But yeah, that final scene, like, oh man, just completely connecting the.
I do that exact same thing all the time. Just like I hear someone mention something about Star Wars, just yeah, I don't know. I'll rewatch them all though.
Yeah, talking about that.
It's just about time. Are we gonna do the nearest thing? The ball.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a classic Star Wars kind of geek moment. Instead of watching your clock or watching fucking Dick Clark's corpse like on TV. You set up your Blu-ray, your Star Wars Blu-ray, to exactly the right amount of time so the Death Star blows up at midnight, and you get to celebrate and watch the Death Star blow up and celebrate the new year. And it's I can't wait to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we should definitely. So there's my number one. I hope you guys like my choice. List. Yeah, thank you.
Well done.
I love that fucking song.
My number one.
I have a, sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Just something afterwards, like an honorable mention that we were talking about moments in music. I'll reference this afterwards. It has to do with Star Wars.
Cool. So yeah, my number one. When I was doing this list, I chose on purpose not to put any Zelda or Star Wars into it. I feel like I love those. I knew you guys were gonna have them in your lists,
and well, I chose my list feels very typical.
Well, I was happy to say that. No. I'm not saying it in that sense at all. I just
I'm not saying is it a bad thing.
I just I chose this as my number one because it really really stood out for me. And yeah. I thought like one of the main driving reasons why this was a good movie was because of the score.
Yeah.
Cool.
So picture
I'm just gonna say what it is. It's There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
It's from the movie There Will
what
Be Blood.
The hell?
I didn't know about this until I was looking it up, but
favorite soundtrack.
It's awesome.
It's
like,
scored
that score
by Johnny Greenwood, who's a guitar player in Radiohead. Nice. I had no idea until I looked this up, and I'm sure that's common knowledge, but I wasn't sure.
It's difficult to
like this movie.
It's difficult to pick 30 seconds of that entire score.
Definitely, and I was struggling with that.
Yeah.
You know what? Another point I want to bring up that's really interesting. It's crazy because you were saying you really like the Social Network soundtrack, right? Scored by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails. And but some musicians really don't have it when it comes to that, and they want to branch into film and scoring. There's a score Paul Simon did for a movie, and I can't remember what movie it is, but it's atrocious. He totally blew it. Like,
really?
He's just not that kind of musician, you know what I mean? He writes great pop songs, but he couldn't score a movie.
McCartney used to score movies on the side. Whenever the Beatles were going on hiatuses or whatever, he would score movies. That guy can write. So yeah, like I said, it's difficult to put... 30-second example of how awesome the score is. I think we might be able to pull it off here. Picture DDL's dirty rotten face while you're listening to this. The music is translated very well. Like, the whole point of that character is, like, he's very jarring and obscure.
Yeah,
well, there's a real lack of dialogue, too, when the music is... just the mixing with the music in this movie was fantastic. You know, there wasn't a lot of dialogue, like I said, and they would just bring those parts in the movie right up.
Yeah.
Just right up. Like, no loud action scenes, but that score was just right
well, there,
up there.
When the... their oil
when the thing breaks
when it breaks down and explodes, that one's pretty epic, and they just watch it burn out,
just silence.
Even the eerie couple notes right at the beginning of the movie,
like borderline insanity, that character, and like you're hearing that go along with it. It's very
Shining. You take that movie away and you don't know that character's just going crazy. You know, you don't at all.
I saw Paul Thomas Anderson? I saw his follow-up.
Master?
Yeah, the director.
I don't even want to hear anything about it because I want to see that so bad. How did you like
two
it?
Words. No,
let me just
two words.
Tell me how you liked it.
It was boring.
Well, he also directed Magnolia, so...
Well, I know, and, you know, There Will Be Blood is good. I'm not fond of Magnolia, but I hear it's pretty good. You know, Boogie Nights was really good.
Boogie Nights
was good. The acting in The Master is really, really, really good. I almost feel like it would have been better as a... I'm saying that twice about movies today, but better as a stage performance.
Hmm. Was just boring, eh? Because I kind of thought that from the trailer, how would a There Will Be Blood trailer look? Probably the same.
There Will Be Blood is on a different level than The Master.
Yeah.
You know, watch it for yourself and see how you feel about it.
Was it long?
It was about 2 hours and I think 20 minutes. Not long. It's really strange. I could go on about that movie, but I'll keep it to myself. But I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't enjoy The Master. Not as much as There Will Be Blood, that's for damn sure. Hmm. Yeah.
Blood was awesome.
So, before you introduce your number one, Chad, I want to say that it was also on my list, but, you know, obviously I took it off for...
So, it's on all of our lists.
Yeah.
It has to be. It just has to be my number one.
So, introduce it, and then before I play the clip, I'll... Or do you want to play the clip first? Because I let yours go on pretty long, because it is the last one, so...
Play the clip.
Okay, so...
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything crazy. But because it was also on my list, and I know Doug's a fan of it, I let it play a little bit long, but I kind of tried to edit it a little bit in the middle just to get the parts that I liked and the parts that you liked together. So
it's a perfect song. I like every
part. Well, yeah, I hope I'm getting pretty good at like editing, I think. So I'll try and figure out where I edited it, so you'll be able to...
Edited it.
Oh, yeah. Concerning.
Something profound about that piece of music, but now there's a shit in it, and it kind of ruins the whole fucking... Fuck off. Whose was that?
What was that? Those are both Joe Murray originals there.
Ooh, those are nice.
Falling out for like 6 days.
This is the part that I like, where it slows down. This is my...
Put the beer can. It's kind of typical of me to put it, but that is my number one piece of music of all time, like favorite song, favorite anything, like anything that's ever been written or recorded, that is number one for me.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard it, like in the movie, once I owned the DVD, I just kept going back. Hobbiton, Hobbiton, Hobbiton. Just as soon as that song would end, I just hit back, go back to the beginning of the chapter. Then I got the soundtrack. I listened to it over and over again. And then I started, it got me into writing music. It got me into the music that I like playing guitar. It changed my fucking life, that song.
Yeah. It's my most, like, it's my go-to jaunty whistle. Like, if I'm happy, sad, whatever I am, like, I can always just...
I'm so excited for the Hobbit soundtrack. I mean,
I feel
that way. Like, it's great.
They released, like, a six-minute thing of, like the far over... But it's orchestrated, and then it blends in this Hobbiton, like, new Hobbiton sound. It's fucking amazing.
I imagine when Bilbo
Hobbiton
and...
Hobbiton of old.
I imagine when Bilbo and Frodo are reminiscing, like, you know, I think they're... I think it's not common knowledge, but knowledge to us, that they're bookending the movies. Like, it's being told to Frodo by Bilbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I imagine that tune is going to...
I might not have told you all of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry constantly through that movie. Just sobbing.
Yeah, that song too.
You know what? It's truly an epic prequel. I mean... This is something we've all loved.
I can't even
It's been a long time.
I can't believe it's happening.
It's been a long time.
I've seen trailers and shit, but I can't believe it's happening.
Has it been 10 years since Return of the King?
No. It came out in 2003.
Almost.
I feel like we've been picking at it, like, all the controversy about the frame rate and,
let's just enjoy it, man.
Making it three movies instead of one. And, you know, they actually retracted the announcement. Like, it got leaked or told that there was going to be an extended version of the Blu-ray, and then a week later they said, no, it hasn't been confirmed that there's an extended edition.
Well, it's
clear. Yeah, so they're...
I can't wait.
They didn't want that to be the official announcement. So it's like, it's clear there's tons of story to be told, and,
make,
you know,
whatever the hell you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, we can...
I don't think Peter Jackson's gonna Lucas this. I don't think he's gonna do it.
Well, it's
not up to him.
It's closer to... Yeah, and it's already written, right? Like,
yeah,
it's WB to do it.
Yeah,
it's not even New Line Cinema. That's weird.
WB, yeah, I guess, eh?
But
I wonder how it's gonna go.
It's gonna be better.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We got all the big players back on board. You know, Weta.
I hope it's just like
Shore.
Oh my god!
It's just gonna be good to see those characters again, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And new characters and.
I haven't even really thought about going to see that movie yet.
Like, I haven't either. I'm kind of just realizing it now. Like,
yeah, like
the
it's
day
coming
we go
out.
To see it. It's almost like 2 months.
You know what's really
two
cool?
Months.
Less than 2 months.
What's kind of cool is that we didn't really hang out when the original trilogy
yet.
Came
I
out.
Saw Return of the King with you.
I was in the theater. Didn't I tell Rob to shut up or something like that?
You told me to shut up.
I told you to shut up.
Okay, Chad saw it. I'd like to point out that
somebody was
16.
Laughing at it. I think Kyle and Rob were laughing at it.
Oh, yeah. Kyle and Rob were laughing. And then you told them to shut up. Yeah, but no, my story with it is you saw it at midnight the night before, and we all skipped school to see it during the day. And I was like, was it
good? And I was there, too.
I was like, was it good? And then Joe interrupted me.
Shut up!
What are you talking about? Was it good? Of course it was good, man. And I felt super embarrassed because I didn't hang out with Joe at the time.
Break time, break time. I want to say an honorable mention when you were talking about... I thought it was top sound or top score, so I did like my favorite like soundtracks for
yeah, like you're celebrating the whole score.
Yeah, the entire thing. But there was one part when you're talking about musical moments, and it was the I don't know what it's called in Star Wars, but in Attack of the Clones, it's when Anakin is riding the speeder bike on Tatooine, going to the
slaughter those things.
Yeah. And that.
Yeah.
I downloaded that song when I was in grade 10. and I put it on my CD player. I like burned it onto a CD, put my CD player in my pocket, like gigantic, riding around on the in my backyard on the tractor, pretending it was a speeder bike, wielding my plastic lightsaber, listening to that song and hitting trees. Just
that's that was written for
was almost
for episode one, right? What is that song?
Was it episode one?
Yeah.
Was it episode two? I don't remember. But it's all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know where it was in episode one.
So in honor of our top five this week, we do have some runner-ups that didn't make our respective lists. But we're not going to tell you what they're from because we're going to have a contest this week in honor of Thanksgiving. We're going to give back to the community here. So the way the contest works, if you can guess what all three of these clips are from, you know, movie, game, no need to get too specific. But if you can guess what all three are from, be the first to post it on our Facebook, and we will invite you out to contribute to an episode, and we're going to take care of pizza and beer for that night, and we'll just have a good time, and you can come hang out with us and be on an upcoming show.
We'll go climb some fences after.
Yeah, possibly, or run through them if Dan's with us.
We do a round of Zelda outside.
It'll be a great time.
Yeah.
All right.
So here's the three clips.
Pretty rich palette to know all three
of
those.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, good luck.
If someone guesses that, you're my new best friend, because holy shit, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, like I can only really pinpoint two of those.
Yeah.
But
I can pinpoint only one and a half.
One and a half. So good luck. If it gets closer to the end of the week, maybe we'll post some hints on our website, allrangemode.ca.
Just take a stab at it.
Yeah, or the Facebook, can't lose. You can email us as well at podcast@allrangemode.ca. So good luck, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening.
All right.